Hey, it's 10:05 on Sports Radio 929 again, number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast, and it's Steak and Sandra as Braves have a fabulous weekend in Boston. I hope a lot of Atlanta fans were there. Looked like they were enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
And I know this guy enjoyed it because of 2 out of 3 and because of what looked like just a pleasant time to be up in Beantown. It's just getting ready to usher in summer in a classic ballpark in a classic city. And Wiley Ballard joining us on Sports Radio 929 The Game. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. And well, this past weekend, from a weather standpoint, I mean, I know Saturday wasn't fun on the field, but Friday and Sunday, I mean, it was close to a perfect weekend. So I had a great time. It was really cool.
How many times you covered games at Fenway so far?
That'd be my first time ever covering games at Fenway. I've been a few times over the years, but that was my first time getting a chance to see the visiting clubhouse and walk around the field and, you know, go inside the Green Monster and all those things. So it was pretty special.
Take the listener inside, the viewer, on how you're prepping for Wrigley, Fenway, you know, obviously Citi Field, any of those, but particularly when you're in a place as historic as that, how much prep goes into it? How do you know what's going to be a great run? How much baseball? How much nonsense? How do you make, how do you navigate that space?
Yeah, so I think, you know, for me, I'm primarily focused on the Braves. You know, Brandon and Glav or Brandon and CJ, they'll handle most of the stuff for the opponent, but a lot of the work I'm doing is going to be focused on the Braves. The one exception would be when it comes to the ballpark, right? You know, because that becomes more of a location. It's, you know, you kind of want it to feel like we're at an event, you know, kind of exploring those areas. And admittedly, we only had 2 games this weekend, and then you know, both games really up until late on Sunday, on Friday and Sunday, were pretty tight. So, you know, if there's a game, you know, if it's a one-run game going to the ninth like we had Friday, it's probably going to be mostly focused on what's going on the field, as opposed to me exploring, you know, let's go on top of the Green Monster or let's go check, you know, this and that out. So, to me, I think game situation dictates a lot of what we do. I mean, there were some things we discussed doing, like, for instance, going inside the Green Monster or going on top of it or exploring Lansdowne Street, to where we might have done a little more of that if the games had been more lopsided. But because the games are so good, that's kind of, it's all dictated by, you know, what needs to be the most important piece of the telecast. Now, granted, there's the ninth inning on Sunday, you know, when the Braves do have a 6-run lead, it gives us a chance to go visit with Dusty and Naomi, who are the two fans who got Marcelo Ozuna's bat, and kind of have some fun there. But as far as my prep going in, I mean, obviously I'll kind of read about, you know, what's going on in the ballpark. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it's any secret. The last a few times we've traveled, if there's a unique, offering at the concession stand, I'm going to explore that, if nothing else, like the mayonnaise and cotton candy fries in Toronto, which are terrible. But, yeah, I think a lot of it's dictated by the game. And, you know, obviously that's our number one goal, is to serve the viewer when it comes to what happens on the field.
Wiley Ballard, FanDuel Sports, on with us. Back up to the ninth inning yesterday. That was a really cool moment. And those that don't remember, can you tell everybody? Ozuna hits the home run, and then in your ear you hear you got to go get those fans.
You know, to be honest with you, Sandra, So Marcel gives away the bat in the eighth inning after that the Braves have built their lead. There was a woman and her husband, Naomi and Dusty from Dawsonville, who had come up for the weekend. It was an entirely secret plan from Naomi. She surprised her husband, Dusty, with what was a bucket list trip, is how he discussed it. She coordinated some work with some friends in Boston who had front row seats behind the visitors' dugouts. They had these phenomenal seats. It's been a great weekend. And like you pointed out, in the eighth inning, Marcel gives away his bat, and Naomi, in particular, just goes berserk. She's a huge Marcel Ozuna fan. And so once we see the reaction, and not to mention the proximity to where I am, I'm just stationed outside the left field side of the Braves dugout, so it was about a 2-minute walk for me to get there. And look, I mean, you know, that's why we love doing what we do, you know, what we do. You know, this couple loves Braves baseball. They travel for a weekend in Boston. which would have been memorable for anybody. But then on top of that, to get not just a baseball, but a bat from the Big Bear, I mean, it's in a lot of ways a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And Wiley, that you can't script it. Her reaction, the fan, the pure love, the cutaway shots of Marcell Ozuna, they were loving being on with you. I mean, and then they kept going to her, and everybody's blowing up their phone, I guess. But you want to talk about an organic, wonderful fan moment. You can't script it. It was perfect. You did a great job.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, somebody texted me and said, that was a great interview. And I said, well, to be honest with you, it's because the interviewees were great.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't – there's nothing I can do to create that emotion and that excitement. I mean, my whole goal was just to make sure that we were able to draw some of it out. And again, I look, I'm born and raised in Atlanta. Obviously, this opportunity has been a dream come true. But, you know, there's still part of me that feels that way inside when I get a chance to do some of these things these last several weeks. So, I, as a Braves fan, you know, born and raised, I identified a lot with that emotion. I can imagine myself having a similar reaction years ago if that had happened to me. So,
that's great.
And that's what makes Braves baseball so special.
Wiley Ballard, where does FanDuel Sports does a fabulous job, obviously, covering the Braves.
Star of the broadcast. I mean, let's just say
why do you keep saying that as if there are two other guys?
I know, but
they're going to keep hearing that. And then
Wiley,
I know
your boss pretty well, and I remember hitting her up last year. I'm like, where's Wiley? Because you were around very little, and she goes, oh, we're getting him back. Don't you worry. Like, the reaction with you has been really something.
Hey, Wiley, is the find the parents for the first big league at bat, is that a standard now? Because in Atlanta, you know, it has produced some of the great moments of first at bats or first games, and then nothing more spontaneous than that.
Oh, absolutely. That's 100%. Obviously, Drake's been the rookie that we've had this year. And, you know, it's funny. You go back and look at those first seven games, you know, in San Diego and L.A., there weren't a whole lot of hits to be found. He was hitting the ball hard, and now he's been one of the best hitters in baseball since then. I mean, we put up a graphic up yesterday about the you know, his slugging percentage, and it's right up there with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge and Freddie Freeman. And, you know, he's a guy who, you know, Snit said it after the game yesterday. He has to play more. If you're swinging the bat like this, he's going to play. You know, in the last 14 games, he's hitting .500. He's 19 for his last 38. I mean, it's been so much fun to watch. And to me, what is so impressive about him is his approach doesn't change. You know, we saw him in early on yesterday's game, bases loaded. He goes the other way, not trying to do anything too special, although he had homered, you know, just the day before. You know, he's not trying to get big and pull the ball and hit it 500 feet. And you know, we asked him yesterday after the game about, you know, does this feel surreal to have this type of success? And he goes, you know, I've tried to kind of keep my head down and you know, just focus on my job and obviously got a lot of responsibilities as both, you know, a hitter and a catcher. But he did admit every time he walks to the plate and looks up and sees that he's hitting .357 with, you know, five homers, 15 RBIs, slugging over close to .600, he kind of shakes his head and says, it's pretty unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Let's talk about that because Sandra and I have been doing this a long time, and whatever storyline is in spring training that you think is going to be the one, you get into the meat of a season and you're like, didn't see Baldwin being our best hitter, didn't see not having our leadoff guy, Drickson Profar, didn't see Eli White being right in the middle of everything. I think all these storylines in 47 games, to have you look up and be like, wow, no Strider, no Acuna, and we're a game over 500 after an 0-7 start. I don't think a Braves fan could ask for more than that.
No, Stake, I think you're spot on. I felt pretty confident. I think most people, you know, who cover the game on a daily level felt pretty confident that the Braves had enough talent to where they would get back above 500. This is a playoff caliber roster. But to be here on May 19th where you're a game over that quickly, I think that kind of surprised everyone. And look, I know the bullpen's had a few hiccups here recently, but to me, I think a lot of it has to do with the way the pitching staff has performed. You know, specifically the starting rotation over this 17-game, 17-day stretch, just continuously getting them deep into games. And as great as this weekend was, and hopefully it's a you know, foreshadowing of what's to come offensively, hitting, I think, seven home runs as a team, something along there. The pitching staff is the reason they've been able to climb back to where they are, because, you know, the offense up until this weekend and save maybe a stretch there in mid-April has really struggled to this point. And I think everyone feels like just the play, you know, the names they have in this lineup. You know, we saw Matt Olson sort of break out of it this weekend. We saw Marcelo Zuna homer yesterday, or hit a couple of home runs this weekend. I think it's coming. But again, I think the pitching staff deserves a lot of credit, and particularly the bullpen. I know, you know, they had a tough night of it on Saturday, and they had another one against the Nats. But really, up until that point, you know, you got to go a ways back to find the last time they coughed one up. And again, that's for a team that, or for a bullpen that, you know, beyond Raisel Iglesias, you know, has really carried their weight. And I think Raisel is also showing a lot of signs of getting back to you know, who he was and who he's going to be.
20 seconds left. When are you going to be talking about Ronald Acuna and Spencer Strider this week in terms of being on the field?
Can't wait. Spencer's going to – looks like he'll start tomorrow. It's all but a certainty. I think the biggest thing for him is just don't have those expectations too high. It's going to take him some time to get that velocity built up. Ronald, man, looks good in Gwinnett. Homered yesterday, and he'll be back soon.
Friday night, San Diego.
That's what it feels like to me, but I'm just a silent reporter who speculates across the field.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
great
Wiley.
Job. Wiley Ballard.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, y'all.
All right. The guy is on his game through and through, FanDuel Sports. Good job getting him lined up. Sandy, when we come back, we got more to get to. We got things I learned over the weekend. A surprise moment at my daughter's high school graduation. What's up with Atlanta United? And we got a real superstar in the horse racing game. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:25, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Thanks for being with us. Coming up in a few minutes, things I learned. My biggest moment ever on social media just went crazy. And also a surprise commencement speaker for a high school graduation my daughter was lucky enough to be a part of. And I have a cut from it, which I think our listeners cherish as well. We talked about Fenway Park over the weekend. Braves get 2 out of 3. I guess they lose the Smoltz game. That was the Fox game. Mm-hmm. Did you listen to it on? You were at a party or something, right?
Yeah, we had it on in the background because, you know, Dave Ide, big Boston. So all his whole family's there from Boston screaming, and I'm in there mouthing off when it's 5-0.
Right.
You know, so didn't
go
well for me.
I mean, Saturday wasn't a good ending, but the weekend was solid, dude. Sale on Friday. Yesterday, you blow the 3-0 lead, but then you just get to work. Braves now again.
10 runs on 16 hits. Schwellenbach again, outstanding. 7-inning, 4-run ball. Fantastic. Gave up that grand slam. But
yeah, I mean, it was a solid outing because he went 7. You don't like to give up a 3-run lead. You're up 3-0 because of the granny. But Rafael Devers, by the way, that's the guy that refuses to play first base. They kicked him out of third. Mm-hmm. And then they made him a DH, and they lost their first baseman. And then the owner had to go meet with him to say, like, we need you in the we need your bat, but we need you at first base so we don't have to play these guys because they shouldn't be starters. And he's like, that's adorable, but I'm a DH.
I'm sure the Boston fans love that.
Well, they loved it more when he had a walk-off. So fact is, watched some Yankees and Mets last night, watched some NHL. I know no one down here really cares about that. But I look at the Braves – and I say that's the difference with some franchises that are given the benefit of the doubt. With some franchises that you just have faith that they will figure it out. You've been rooting for years. Most evenings when you invest your time in that franchise, you more often than not are given a pleasurable experience, whether that is at Turner Field, whether that is at Truist, whether that is, you know, covering the Braves for the last, well, you know, I got here in 95, but starting in 91, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
When all the magic starts to happen. Like, you know, the Braves start 0-7. At one point, there were 8 games under 500. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Ronaldo Lopez is out. Spencer Strider is out. Jerkson Profar is out. We can't hit worth a lick. Our closer keeps giving it up. Your luck turnaround going. The Mets are on a epic run. Is this going to be one of those long and winding seasons that is not what we're used to? And then you look up, and it is May 19th. So the season starts in April, kids. It's May 19th. You're a game over 500. You haven't had Ronald Acuna, Spencer Strider. You had for one start, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
So, like, this could be a fabulous summer. You heard
Wiley
Ballard talking about what it's like to have a rookie that is lighting it up.
Drake Baldwin, I like to call him Drake May, because what he is doing is absurd. So
I mean, how fun is this going to be?
Oh, my gosh. And listen, Snit was great yesterday talking about, I don't even know if it's going to be platooning as much. He might go a couple with Sean Murphy and then a couple with Drake. Drake has to be in the lineup, and it's matchups and lefties and righties. But when he's on fire like this, he's got to be in the lineup. And listen, he'll settle back in. They'll figure him out just like it's baseball.
Any rookie, right?
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The excitement around, you know, Michael Harris hasn't hit worth a lick. Ozzie Albies' numbers have been dreadful. You're wondering, like, how the hell did we just grind this thing out? And you look up and, you know, we have a closer that's made us crazy. And
Raisel Iglesias, I don't know. Wiley said it's starting to look like he's figuring it out.
Yeah, okay. I don't know exactly what he's looking at to say that. But whatever it is, it's like, and then you have the Hawks and Falcons, and I'm not trying to, like, throw strays at those organizations, but there's just not a history that you can say, you know. Listen, the Falcons have the ultimate mistrust because of what happened, right? They have the ultimate mistrust because you took your fans on one of the worst journeys ever. We'll talk more about that. Mina Kimes had some fascinating stuff about the Falcons, but the Hawks as well. You've been one Eastern Conference final in your history. You went to there a few years ago, and you went up in flames. You had that best record, number one seed against, you know, the Korver, Damari Carroll, Millsap team, and you got swept by the Cavs. Now you got 4 years of, like, you're the play-in team. Like, you just haven't built that loyalty. You know, that's what it's like. You know, the Knicks absolutely smoked Boston in game six, smoked them. Mm-hmm. Celtics fans have been given so much over the years that they think they're winning that game. So when something like that happens, I'd almost argue it's like the Phillies beating us the way they have a couple of times. Braves fans, Red Sox, Celtics fans, they just assume something good will happen because there's a history in that franchise that we figure it out. Now, it didn't happen. The Knicks are in the finals. We haven't been on the air since the Friday night debacle. But that's just my point, right? That there's certain organizations you feel like they're going to figure it out. Braves have done a fabulous job.
No one thought the Indiana Pacers were figuring it out and going to the Eastern Championship. Their odds, I just looked it up, that their over-under was 46.5 wins, plus 5,000 if you were to bet them.
To win the title.
To get into the finals.
Right.
To even get in
the
finals.
Well, I'm telling you that, like, Cleveland and Boston both being out, both of them, Indiana, New York, I mean, that's the beauty of sports, man. There's two fan bases sitting there going, we can win the whole damn thing. Oklahoma City's certainly the favorite, but Anthony Edwards' time is now. Two straight Western Conference finals for Minnesota. They never went to one with Kevin Garnett. They've been to two in a row. Let's go to things like that. When you go to your daughter's high school graduation, I don't think you expect to see a commencement speaker that literally every university in America would like to have. And it was a secret until these doors opened from behind. I think we were at the Mount Perrin Church where they had this, the Pace Academy graduation. And there is Andrew Young, one of the most famous living historical figures in the United States of America. And nobody knew. They always try to make it a surprise. Nobody knew he'd be coming. And you'd be treated to a 93-year-old man doing this.
But you don't know what you got until you go back and check it out. So find out all you can right now about your ancestry. Why do you look like you look? Why do you have the talents that you have? Why do you run fast? Why is it that you can catch a ball? Or why is it that, well, I was telling my granddaughter just before we came here that her grandmama could shoot the most awkward basketball shot I've ever seen. The only thing is, it always went in. And she doesn't know where she got her abilities, but way back there somewhere, everything that you are today and all that you've got to work with for the future, you've already been gifted with it.
He sounds great.
He was awesome.
Wow, 93.
He
good
just,
for you.
He didn't have a note in front of him. Whether he memorized
it,
whether he memorized it, he's in his wheelchair wheeling around the stage, and it was powerful.
How long did he talk?
Probably 15 minutes.
Fantastic.
It was incredible.
And you had no idea it was him.
You don't know. They try to surprise folks with, you know, getting a huge guest to come through there. So an unbelievable treat there. Now, what's not a treat right now is the Atlanta United. I thought we had this great off season, and I thought things were going to be kind of back to the old days at Mercedes-Benz. As of Saturday, we have now not won a game in how many?
Eight matches. You get shut out 1-0 to Philadelphia Saturday.
Not the way you want to treat your fans, man. Mike Conte will have more on that this week, but we are learning that it has been a tough run of late. We also learned that there is a legit superstar horse. That horse's name is Journalism.
Listen. Far outside, Journalism is still running on. He's back into second. He might even win it. Here's the wire. Oh, my goodness. Journalism has won the Preakness Stakes in a performance like you read about.
No decision of yet today whether Journalism run in the Belmont. But a second in the Derby, a first at the Preakness, a superstar horse for sure, which is exactly what the sport needs.
Yeah. And it's just a bonus that that's his name.
You know that. What else do we learn over the weekend? I will mention this quickly. I mentioned that burger place I went to last week, Jay Butter Jones.
Yep.
I've never had anything happen on the internet. I don't know what – it's so weird because I can do 20 food reviews and get like 100, 500 shares of that, 5,000 shares of this one place. They ran out of food Saturday. They ran out of food Sunday. It like took off of – I don't even know. I got it some algorithm on the internet.
When did Pookie and Jet repost it? That's likely what happened.
Well, Pookie and Jet reposted, I think it was Saturday, late in the day. No, yesterday it posted. It already happened.
Oh, okay.
No, it already happened. Now it's just that much bigger. Anyway, you never know where you're going to get
your next. That place exactly?
It's La Vista and Briarcliff. I talked to the chef, the owners. They had to stop serving at one point because they ran out of food altogether.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
good for you guys.
Follow
That's
me
great.
At Steak Shapiro. You never know what sandwich is going to break the internet next. And finally, big moment at Cannes, Tom Cruise premiering The Final Reckoning, which is the movie coming out, I guess, for Memorial Day weekend,
yep,
right?
That's right. Some theaters have it on Thursday.
It's already got 85% on Rotten Tomato. He gets a 5-minute standing ovation. Can we save the movies? Can we bring everybody back? We had Sinners, right?
Sinners, yeah, but this is nothing. They're comparing this to Maverick when everybody went back to the theaters after COVID, that Tom Cruise is going to save the theaters again.
Again.
Like, this is going to blow it up.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. Like, Mission Impossible is just a great outing, right? All of them. The stunts,
stunts,
the whole
that
thing.
He does are
got a
incredible.
Real sexy cast.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll go see it for sure.
That's things I love. Three strikes, a couple of other big game of the night. Sports Radio 929. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sandy in for Drew Butler today. He'll be here Wednesday. Those are the rumors. We will try to confirm them coming up. But yes, he's indeed going to be here. Three strikes coming up in just a second. Also, our big game of the night. But
our 10 o'clock hour brought to you by WiseGuysProWash.com. If you need some pressure washing, they're the best, they're the baddest, they're the biggest. Mention Sandra, get $70
off.
We
got no NBA games at all.
Mm-hmm. You got no NHL games at all.
Knicks are going to have almost a week off.
Yeah, because it starts tomorrow with the Western Conference. You see that? So Tuesday's the Western Conference.
Yeah, no, I see it. I'm looking at the same thing you are. Like, what? I'm just curious about the Knicks series. Knicks are favored by 165, meaning you got about $165 to win $100. The Thunder are favored by 370. You get back almost 3-to-1 odds if you want to bet on Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle. I don't know, man. Timberwolves are pretty legit to get back 3 times your money on that. I want to bet the Pacers. Knicks only 165. I kind of think the Knicks are headed to the NBA Finals.
I hope you're wrong.
I kind of think it's going to be Knicks in Oklahoma City. Minus 165. I don't know. Just telling you. Game one, by the way, will be tomorrow. Timberwolves, a 7.5-point underdog at OKC after that blowout. And the Knicks will be a 4.5-point favorite over the Pacers at Madison Square Garden. So you can see all the stars on display there as well. Braves don't get going till tomorrow, right? They're off?
Yes, they are. TBA pitcher, which, as Mark Bowman calls him, the badass, it will be Spencer Strider tomorrow night.
Which means you won't see him in the Padres series, right?
Well, no.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, yeah, you will.
You will. Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
when
Saturday.
We think Acuna will be Sunday. Back on Friday, you guys. So.
Yeah. So.
So your game of the night, only just because there's nothing really else, but the Mets are at the Red Sox tonight. Brought to you by John Foy. If you want to watch that, or the Voice final is tonight.
Oh, is that live?
Really good.
Kimberly will be all,
yes,
will be all over
voice.
That.
Mm-hmm.
So, Padres, then an off day, and then you're at the Phillies. So if you want to pitch Spencer Strider on 4 days rest, assuming he goes tomorrow, then your Sunday 4-10 game against the Padres. You know that next Sunday?
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
It's a 4-10 game. Mm-hmm. So you'll have 1-2, you'll have 4 days off. I don't know. He may go against the Phillies on the road and get a full almost week off. You think you give him a week or you think you get him on a 4 days? Because if you don't pitch him on Sunday, you don't play on Monday, he's pitching tomorrow and then he's pitching next Tuesday against the Phillies. So if he pitches tomorrow, then
five,
he'll go
five, four, so
4 days rest.
Yeah. Oh.
Five-man rotation, which, you know, you don't want to go to six because, as Snickers said, mm-hmm. you're giving guys way too much time off, so you have to figure that one out as well.
Can we just get him out there for one and have his leg not yes. fall off? Everybody calm down.
Who is
one
your,
day at a time.
Who is your ultimate movie star? Who is your ultimate movie star, if I say? Who's the ultimate movie star? The Braves player you trust more than any other over the years. Right now. Or all time, the Braves player that you trust. We talked about how the Braves have built a history of building trust with their fans, or at least over the last, oh gosh, multiple decades.
So that's in the history of the Atlanta Braves.
It's just don't get so caught up in semantics. The question is the Braves player you trust the most. You've trusted the most. Okay. All the time. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, Hank Aaron, I guess you could say, but that's not really what I'm thinking.
Well, that's why I'm axing.
The Braves player you trust or trusted more than any other. How about that?
Okay.
The Braves player you trust or trusted more than any other. And easiest team to root against. The easiest team to root against. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Couple of other little notes. What night is Caitlin Clark rolling through here?
Thursday night. The Dream is at Indiana tomorrow night, and then 2 days later, they're here at State Farm. So if you want to go out, that's
you
a pretty
watch
cool night.
The hard foul on Angel
I
Reese?
I saw the highlights. I wasn't watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't watching it either, but I did see the highlight. What did you think of the foul? You think it should have been a flagrant? They called it that, gave technicals.
I don't think it should have been a flagrant. There, I said it.
Okay.
Let him play.
Okay.
Listen, Kalen's not backing down to nobody, and neither is Angel. Like, the best thing you can do is let this all play out.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good call. Yeah. That was a good flagrant call, but I thought everything about it was just the way it should be, a big rivalry. Obviously, they're trying to get Indiana in a position where they can make a run at a title. And then all the stuff that surrounds it afterwards, that's the unfortunate part, the cesspool that is the internet, the racial lines and the divide and the pettiness on both sides of those, you know, fan bases. And did somebody from Indiana in the crowd do something that, you know, they had to apologize for? Or they'd say apologize. WNBA and Indiana both saying we're looking into reported incidents. We have no tolerance for that whatsoever. So, anyways, listen, we never talked about the WNBA ever, and those two young ladies have
helped that
happen.
All I know, it's a good day to be a basketball fan in Indiana because you got the Fever and you got the Pacers.
And that's
and
a place.
It is a hot ticket.
That's a place where basketball matters a lot. We're going to have Mike Woodson in live coming up sooner rather than later. Good. He's the former coach of IU, friend of the show, been chatting with him lately. He coached the Hawks for quite some time. I had to deal with Josh Smith and company. He's been around a lot. I think it'd be a great in-studio interview to hear from Mike Woodson. He knows what basketball means. I mean, it wasn't pretty at the end there in Indiana what Mike Woodson had to deal with. The Hoosiers take their basketball very seriously, and the Pacers are a very big deal to be where they're sitting in the Eastern Finals. And then, of course, all the excitement around the New York Knicks that 25 years since they've been in the Eastern Finals as well. Hawks have two number one picks. A lot more conversation on that as we try to get into. And tomorrow, I think you're going to enjoy the Falcon conversation that we are having. Now, when I say the Braves deserve all that trust, they did go 14 straight years with a division title and won one, which is almost impossible when you were one of the best teams every single year. But when I say trust, I'm talking about that you have a team that you believe can win the title every single year.
You're in the mix.
Yeah,
always.
You have a team that can win the title every single year. I think they're just one of those organizations that has built that trust. I think when you think of the NFL, I think the 49ers are an organization you feel like, you know, that they're in the mix. The Steelers used to be like that for years. The Ravens are like that now.
The Rams.
Yeah. The Rams under Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, New England, based on the fact that all this money is pouring into the Patriots, people feel like they can change things quick. I don't know about that, but certainly they earned your trust when the right guys were at the helm. And we both agree, by the way. We both agree where we thought there'd be some great moment. Bill Belichick and Michael Strahan was the most boring, awful interview.
First of all, they did it live. I thought it was going to be this fancy sit-down where they could edit. Nope, they did it live on the set. It lasted 6 minutes.
Why do you let Belichick go there and pimp out his book for the entire 90% of it?
Because we all tuned in.
No, that's fine.
You know, they started teasing that thing Monday. His book now is on the New York Times bestseller. All right, good for you
guys. But why are you so soft in asking? Why not saying, do you think she's been a distraction? Or why not saying, is it fair to say that she has ruffled some
feathers? Well, he said it not once but twice, and I'm talking about Michael Strahan. I know we're not supposed to ask you about your personal life.
What do you mean?
So that means that they said to him, we're not allowed, you know.
No, they did not say to him, you can't ask about it. There's no way.
They said we're not supposed to. He's Michael
Strahan.
Meaning
he's trying to say, I know you don't like, I don't know, the semantics, man. He said there's no way he had any restrictions. There's absolutely no way that he sat there.
I disagree with you.
ABC News would never be in his position where Bill Belichick could sit on set.
I know. It wasn't David Muir. It wasn't Meet the Press. It was Good Morning America, where they're now about to sell you socks where you buy one, get one.
He said,
and they sit
I know
down
you
Belichick
don't like me to
it.
Ask. You don't. Of course they knew he was going to ask. My problem is he barely asked. I mean, that wasn't even asking.
I walked away from there saying they told him not to ask.
Well, no. There's no. Listen, you were
we
right
last
week.
We can agree to disagree. I'm telling you.
Why would, they're a news organization. I mean, I don't care what it is. Michael Strahan has news interviews. You think they're going to agree and all they're going to do is ask about his book? My point is, they asked
my question is, why isn't he on SportsCenter doing it?
Why is
that? That's ABC. That's Disney. He went on Good Morning America for a reason.
Yeah, because he knows Strahan. They're buddies. That's why. And he knew Strahan would be soft. And Strahan was soft. Strahan was awful with him. But they didn't have any restrictions. He's just like, I know you don't let me ask about your personal life. No, you know I'm not going to talk about that. He goes, you seem happy. What? Yeah. That's it? God, that was awful. Regardless of what the restrictions were or not, let's get three strikes. All right, we have extra phone lines, and we have three good questions, so you are going to call us. Who is your ultimate movie star? We want to hear from you. The Braves player you trust or trusted more than any other. Call us. Every or easiest team to root against. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. 0929. Breakfast Barry in the car. How you doing, buddy?
Congratulations on the graduation, first and foremost.
Thank you, sir.
So actor. I'm going to go actress first. Jane Seymour from Live and Let Die. When I was a little kid, my dad took me, and I thought she was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen. But I do love Liam Neeson as an actor. So.
I love him.
The Braves player you trust or have trusted the most over the years?
Oh, you kidding me? Greg Maddux, calling his own pitches by the way he catches the ball. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable story.
Easiest team to root against?
Oh, that's easy, too. The New York Mets. Who hates the Mets? Who likes the Mets? You kidding me? No, thank you.
Hey, Brad in Villa Rica. Brad, who is the ultimate movie star?
Kurt Russell. I love that movie, Overboard.
The Braves player you trust or trusted the most?
Oh, that's funny.
I'm going to say Andrew Jones, sir.
Easiest team to root against?
Oh, of course. That's simple. I'm going to say the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Go Dogs.
Wow. All right. I guess.
Overboard. That was randomly
Goldie
great.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell?
I thought he was going to say Miracle for sure, and then he's like, Overboard. That was funny.
A lot of options for Kirk Russell. Didn't see that one coming.
Who do you think of pops in your head? Movie star?
Pacino, Julia Roberts.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm.
De Niro, Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise, certainly. Julia Roberts had a hell of a run, though, which she just exploded on the screen in terms of the way she
looks.
She
was the it girl, yeah.
Hey, Tinker and Kennesaw, who's your ultimate movie star?
My ultimate movie star is Bruce McGill.
The Braves player you trusted the most?
John Smoltz. And I always loved it when he did a home run, put one up in the seats every once in a while.
Every easiest team to root against?
It's because they got a bunch of buddies that are fans, so this one's easy for me. Anything Boston.
Now you stop that. Stop it.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Thanks for the call.
That's
all right,
great.
The Sox. Sox got it handed to him this weekend, I'll tell you, by the Braves.
How do you like them, Adam?
You know it. Back tomorrow. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Caleb. And we'll see you. Bye.